Thanks for that. Keep your Bibles open if you'd like, and we're going to have a look at those passages. But as we come before them now, let me pray. Dear God and Father, we do thank you for your word, your mighty word, Father, that is good for us. It is mighty to save. Lord, it is sharper than any double-edged sword. Lord God, we pray that this morning you would open our hearts and minds to the truth that you would want us to know, that, Father, we would commit ourselves to you and our church, that you would hear our prayers, that you would guide us, and that you would watch over us, Lord, in all things that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was younger, much, much younger, just a boy, really, I was in a Sebs group. If you don't know what a Sebs group is, it's you know what a Sebs group is, Roy? Excellent. It was a group for kids years ago. There's still a few around, not as many these days. It was a group for boys. It was a bit like the Anglican Church's version of the Scouts, right? And I was in it and kind of grew up in it. And my son eventually went into it as well. But when I was young, one of the great things, the great fun things that we used to do as Seb's boys was the billy car derby, right? The billy car derby. And that's where we'd spend weeks leading up to the billy cart derby, building these carts, right? We would get wheels off old bikes and things, and you'd fashion together a bit of timber, a few nails here and a few screws there, and you'd have this rattly old thing that you would get someone to push around on. Well, we had this billy cart derby, our Seb's group versus a whole bunch of others. And I was in this race with a mate of mine, Ronnie Young. I think what had happened is I'd pushed him, and we'd done a lap first, and then he was pushing me, and it was the second and final lap. And I noticed, you know, as we were heading towards the straight, as we were heading towards the finish line, I looked to the left and I looked to the right, and we were in the lead. We were winning. We were winning the billy cart race. I couldn't believe it. And as we approached that finish line, I thought to myself, this is so good, I'm going to celebrate. And what is the way that you celebrate? Well, the way I was thinking, that just before we crossed that finish line, I would raise my hands in glory that we were about to win the billy cart derby. Now, when you're in a rattly old billy cart, that is the stupidest thing that you could ever do, as it turns out. Just a few metres before that finish line, as I raised my hands in victory that we were going to win this race, I let go of the steering. I think it was probably just a bit of rope, right? A bit of rope on the two front wheels. I let go of the steering, and of course, what happened? The billy cart careered out of control, and I came tumbling out of that billy cart within a metre of the finish line. And as I looked up, and each side, the billy carts just zoomed past us and won the billy cart race. You feel sorry for me? No, you're not meant to. You're not meant to feel sorry for me. Here's the point, isn't it? The point is, you don't celebrate and take the glory until you've crossed the finish line. Big mistake. I never did it again. I don't think I ever won a billy cart derby race ever again either. But staying focused and getting the now right means we ought to be able to celebrate the end. And you know, much of the Christian life is living the life now that we are called to and looking ahead to the glorious future that we are able to have because of Jesus. Likewise, churches like us need to live the life now, getting right that what we are called to do and to be, so that we can look forward to and celebrate together the end picture of life together. Well, that passage just read to us in Revelation 5 is that glorious vision of the end goal. The vision for the future in Revelation 5. In the Apostle John's amazing vision, he sees every tribe, every language, every people and nations gathered around Jesus and the throne of God, along with every living creature, and in a loud voice they all declare, "Worthy is the Lamb, Jesus. To him be praise and honour and glory and power forever and ever." That's the end goal. What a vision. Every tribe, every language, nation, people gathered around Jesus, declaring his glory and his power. Every living thing bending the knee to Jesus, the glorious King of the world. You see, it's to this end vision that Christians and the church are called to look towards, hope for, work to, that we declare the great Lord Jesus among the nations is our great priority and our responsibility now. That we declare the powerful Lord Jesus amongst our community now, across the southwest of Sydney now, across this city now, because we are working for this great end goal, all people glorifying God and Jesus. And so Jesus has given his followers a mandate. He has given us a mandate, this church, to go and make disciples. It's a mandate for every believer. And in Acts 2, we have a great example of what this first church was like. We see what they focused on with this same end goal in mind. And so we're going to have a look at the church then and now in Acts 2. What was important to this first church? What were their priorities in the meantime? And they had four great priorities. Did you notice in the Acts 2 reading that they were learning that together, that they were loving, that they were worshipping, and that they were evangelizing together? They were a learning church. Did you hear that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship? They were learners around God's word. The learning and the growing together was a big priority for them. They would need to learn and grow. They would need that understanding, that strength, and that knowledge for what was ahead of them. They would need to pass on the gospel. And through their learning and growing, God would be glorified. Through the proclamation of the gospel, many thousands would be saved. If you've got your Bibles open, take a look at verse 41 in that section. The faithfulness in the teaching and the proclamation by the apostles and the believers, what was being used to grow his church. And they were a loving church. They were a church that were devoted to one another on a daily basis. All the believers were together, it says. They had everything in common. Love was at the heart of this church. Much love was shown to others, just as their Lord and Saviour, Jesus, had done. It was a loving church. Every day they met together in each other's homes, sharing meals with glad and sincere hearts. They were a loving church. And they were a worshipping church, this church. They were a worshipping church. Every day they would meet. They would praise God. Their praise and worship of God wasn't set aside for special times during the week. Their worship of God was an everyday all of life activity. And finally, they're an evangelizing church. The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved, because they were an evangelizing church. They were staying true to the mandate given to them by Jesus to make disciples. And the Lord used their faithfulness to grow his church, all for God's glory. Well, this learning, loving, worshipping, evangelizing church is a great example to us. They're a great example because the vision of the end gathering, all peoples, all nations and tribes gathering around and praising Jesus, was what shaped their practice. This was their end goal. And they learned and they loved and they worshipped and they evangelized in the meantime. Well, what about the meantime for us? What do we do in the meantime? For this church, for Riverwood Punchbowl Anglican Church, in this particular place, at this particular time, how will this vision shape our practices? Go and make disciples, Jesus would say, of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Why did he give us this instruction? So that all tribes, that all nations, all peoples might have an opportunity to be there on the last day, singing praises to Jesus. In the meantime, what does this mean for our church? What does this mean for our church? What will we need to do and be to remain faithful to God and his vision for the church? How will this vision shape our practices? Well, we need to be three things, I believe, this morning. We'll need to be purposeful, prayerful, and persistent. Let me tell you what I mean by that. Firstly, by being purposeful, we'll need to be purposeful about the vision. Our vision, seeing lives transformed through Jesus, all for God's glory. We'll need to be purposeful about seeing that vision continue to be a reality. And I believe going forward as a church, we'll need to be a purposeful church. And that's where these five purposes of church that we've been looking at these last five or so weeks, 6 weeks, have been helpful in us doing that. And so to be purposeful, there are some things that we will need to do. And I've got five things I'm just going to talk about briefly that will help shape us into the future. And the first is having purpose pastors. Calling our pastors to lead us in these five purposes. Myself and Phil and Mitch, I hope will be our purpose pastors next year. And early in 2017, I'll announce which of these five purpose areas that our pastors will be responsible for. Phil, along with Becky, will continue to reach out to the young multicultural families in our area. And Mitch, along with Becca, will continue to oversee our youth and young adult ministry. We'll need focus teams. Assisting the pastors will be focus teams around each of these purposes. These small teams will work with the pastor to ensure as a church that we're doing everything that we can to be faithful to these purposes that God has given us, to see lives transformed through Jesus or for God's glory. And these focus teams will start to take shape in the new year. We'll need to align our ministries. We'll need to align our ministries with our purposes. We'll ensure that our ministries are aligned or working towards alignment with our purposes going forward and with this vision. A support team. These great purposes for us will continue to need great support around them. We benefit as a church from a wonderful administrator in Beck Baker and servant-hearted wardens. We want to continue to build and grow a support team for ministry here. And finally, leadership. Building a purposeful leadership in our church with a focus on the vision and the direction for our church to see lives transformed through Jesus. This is a big priority for us. A purposeful and faithful leadership team in our church comprising parish council and wardens who represent us will be vital for the growth of our church. And so there's being purposeful and there's being prayerful. I know there are no surprises here, but we'll need to be prayerful as we stay faithful to the vision that God has for us. What do I mean by this? I mean prayerfulness about lessons learnt from the past, prayerfulness for our future faithfulness and effectiveness, prayerfulness for each other and the vision, and thankfulness. Let me share with you what I believe we need to be thankful for and in turn prayerful about. Be thankful for the way that God has shaped each of us and this church. And there is much work that God has been doing in and through each one of us and this church. And he has been shaping the vision here at this church. Seeing lives transformed through Jesus, all for God's glory, is the vision. How will we do this and how have we been doing this? Let me talk a little bit about what's been going on in 2015 and 2016, these last couple of years. These last couple of years really for us have been about rebuilding. A few years ago, we were a church that was struggling. We're in decline. And if we're real about our situation, we weren't in a good place. And so 2015, 2016 meant that we would need to rebuild as a church. Well, what does this involve? What does it mean that we've been rebuilding? We've been re-establishing our priorities. And they've been gospel priorities as we've been going along. We've been firming up these priorities, these gospel priorities, and we've been letting them set the future direction for our church. We've been gathering people and leaders to join us. And we've been seeing God at work, haven't we? In so many ways. How have we gone about it? How has this happened? Well, we've been asking and seeking God. We've had to ask and seek God. God has been doing the rebuilding. You know, a couple of years ago, I asked us as a church to recommit to four things. I don't know if you remember what they were now, but there were four P's. There was prayer, preaching, proclamation, and partnership. And we recommitted ourselves a couple of years ago to prayer, to pray for our church, to pray for a way forward, to pray for God's guidance for each one of us. We recommitted ourselves to preaching, that we would continue to preach God's word faithfully and helpfully and prayerfully. Proclamation, we recommitted ourselves to evangelism, proclaiming the gospel amongst our friends and our family and our neighbourhood. And we recommitted to partnership. We were several congregations over a couple of different church sites, and we recommitted ourselves to starting thinking about being one church with one mission. Do you remember? And we recommitted ourselves to those P's, four P's. And we've been calling. We've been calling people to come and join us. And we just had that great example then, didn't we, with that interview. We've had Elise come and join us, Phil and Becky, Mitch and Becca and Michelle. And I'll tell you what's been another great joy has been seeing over the last couple of years a number of people just step up and serve in different ways, and we've been celebrating those as we go along the way. Well, looking ahead, that's been 2015 and 2016. What are we looking forward to ahead? What else do we need to be prayerful about into the future? Let me talk to you about 2017 now. 2017, I've called establishing ourselves for growth, establishing ourselves for further growth, establishing ourselves and our priorities, continuing to establish these gospel priorities for us as a church, organising ourselves around the vision will be 2017, organising ourselves around this vision, establishing a base for growth, having a look at our congregations, and ensuring that we're establishing bases for growth across our congregations. And we're going to look at staffing the vision. We've been so blessed to have Phil and Becky join us. They've raised a good portion of their own support to be able to make that happen, as we've supported them also. We're hoping to continue raising our levels of support for them so that eventually we can be supporting them as assistant pastors full time. We've had the great benefit of Mitch and Becca come and join us, and that are committed to staying with us into the future. Again, they've had to step out and raise much of their own funds to be able to make that a reality. We're able to support them in a small way next year to make that happen. But in the future, I want us to start talking about what it might look like that we can be supporting our workers fully. Well, how are we going to go about establishing for growth into the future? Well, I think we're going to need to be doing it by being committed to a purposeful ministry in our community. We've been talking about magnification and glorifying God in all that we do, and mission, making Jesus known in our community through word and through deed, locally and globally. We've been talking about membership in our church, what it means for people to belong and get connected to our church, and maturity, growing and learning, and of course ministry, serving in our church. These great purposes for each one of us to be fulfilling. These will shape us. Having purposeful gatherings and congregations. This might mean that we need to look at times that we meet and perhaps even where we meet. Let me tell you what I mean by that. We have this kind of enjoyable challenge right now of a growing 10 a.m. congregation that our figures will show us has more than doubled in size over these last 2 years under God. It's presented us with a great challenge. In 2017, we need to start thinking about a space for that congregation to keep growing. Bearing in mind that none of our three properties here up at St. Saviour's at Punchbowl and St. Matthew's at Roselands, bearing in mind that none of these three properties are really adequate for growing congregations and growing ministries. Now, we've been able to spend some money here getting some new chairs and carpet, and we've expanded our capacity here. But looking ahead for another year or two, we know that we will soon fill the space. And so this will mean that in 2017, we'll need to start investigating alternative spaces for this congregation. And it may mean that these kind of logistical challenges that we'll face will mean challenges to our other service times. With this in mind, and with our broader vision for our parish, a vision that we are committing ourselves to, with these challenges ahead that we have, with all these things in mind, I've begun discussing with our St. Matt's brothers and sisters what this might look like for next year and going forward. I want to assure each one of you, though, that while some of our times and our locations will change around our congregations, we are committed to being an Anglican church in our community that offers alternative styles of worship, and will remain committed to the biblical truths and the doctrine that has guided our denomination in the Sydney Diocese. But we are committed to this vision, and we are committed to working in ways that will help us best achieve it. I want to talk briefly about what's in a name. In 2017, we hope to establish our church in a community with a name that describes who we are whilst having a greater appeal and reach. We currently have several names for our church. We've got a parish name, quite a big one, And we have three separate names for three separate churches in the one parish. What will help us stay true to being an Anglican church and this vision whilst having a wider appeal to our diverse community? So there's much that I want us to be prayerful for and looking forward to in 2017. But what about 2018 and beyond? 2018 and beyond, I've called launching and growing. What will this mean for the future of our church? It will mean that we'll have organised ourselves purposely around our vision so that we continue to grow in number and impact for the gospel in this community, having a firmly established a plan for the future. We'll then be able to plan and organise ourselves for long-term growth, assessing our building and location requirements that are currently restrictive, assessing them for the long-term effectiveness of our ministry. We'll eventually need a site or a building that will help us facilitate growth in our ministries and our congregations for the next 20-plus years. We'll commence investigating what our longer-term requirements will be for this kind of facility or building in our parish. And so there's being purposeful, there's being prayerful, and finally, let me finish by talking about being persistent. Being committed to this kind of vision with this end goal in mind will take a faithful persistence. To shape this kind of vision, the shape of the vision must be done in prayerfulness, in faithfulness, and in action. How will we make sure this happens? We'll make sure this happens if everything is grounded in prayer and in faithfulness to God. Change is never easy. We know that. We know that change is a constant. And we've been talking about some significant changes for all of us, locations, times, a new name, possibly in the future, a new building. In the new year, I'll begin meeting with people, representatives from across our congregations. We'll call them planning teams. And together with me, we'll start investigating some of these things that we need to investigate and to pray. And then as we do, all of us will have opportunities to speak into it, to ask questions, to make suggestions, and to pray together. It's very important for me as your pastor to lead us well through this and to lead us to pray. And so I want to ask each of you to be praying for this bold vision under God, to seek him and his direction for you and our church. So please pray. And tell me what you're praying and what you're learning. What is God showing you? What is he teaching us? And as we go forward, we'll continue to pray together. We will gather, we will discuss and pray in big groups and small groups, one-to-one. I want to commit to you as your pastor to help to continue to lead us to be a learning, loving, worshipping and evangelizing church together. And this will take faithfulness. It will take faithfulness to God, to each other, to our purposes and to the vision. And I want to ask you to step out with us in faithfulness. Step out with us in trust of God. It will require action. We'll be asking our planning teams to consider a number of questions and to bring before us next year. What will be the best structure for our ministries to be establishing and growing? How will we best organise ourselves and our congregations around our vision? How we will sustain a growing church with limited facilities? What's in a name? What name will show our desire for a wider impact that refreshes our identity, considers our diverse area? In the meantime, we are stepping out in faith, trusting God with our future direction, seeking to please him and his mission for us and this world, and looking ahead to seeing all tribes, you remember, all nations, all languages, all peoples gathered around Jesus. And so we need commitment to his vision and mission that God has for us. Can I ask you to be committed with your time and with your talent and your treasure as much as you are able? Will you be prayerfully committed to seeing this vision a reality under God, lives transformed through Jesus, all for God's glory, as we step out in faith? Will you commit your talents? Will you be committed to serve, to seek out the gifts that God has given you and to use them here for God's glory? Will you commit your time, your talents? Will you commit your treasure? God loves a generous and cheerful giver, the Bible tells us, to be generous back to God with what he has been so generous to us with. And I want to ask that if you haven't committed to giving financially to the vision of seeing lives transformed through Jesus, then please get on board with us. Whether we have a little or a lot, we can make a big contribution to the gospel here by giving financially. Be purposeful, be prayerful, and be persistent. In all that we do under God, let's commit to him and his direction for our lives and this church. Let's step out in faith. Let me pray. Dear God and Father, we do thank you so much that you have given us a gospel to share. That, Father, in that gospel, our lives have been transformed through Jesus for your glory. Thank you, Father, that you've given us instruction to keep making that gospel known, that we might see other lives, all kinds of people from all different tribes and languages and nations, see them being transformed through Jesus, Lord, all for your glory. Lord, we ask that you would bless this church, that, Father God, you would guide us in all that we do, that our plans ultimately, Lord, would be your plans, to having seen the gospel being made known in this community. Lord God, use each one of us, we pray. Have each one of us step out in faithfulness with you, Lord, with whatever you've given us. Help us to be generous back to you in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.